Good morning. I'd like to say happy Lord's Day first, and then we can talk about being Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all you mothers, and it is from the blessings of God that we have mothers. So, and to have a good mother. Now, my talk today isn't going to be, even though someone suggested that to me yesterday evening at about 7 o'clock. See, my talks usually don't happen till later on in the day. I have 2-3 topics, and then I usually narrow them down about 8 or 9 o'clock, and then I figure out what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to start with my ending first. We're going to talk about the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Since we just finished the book of Galatians, and one of the things that was there was the promise given to Abraham. Of course, we had the promise of Christ. We had the promise of all the nations of the earth being blessed. But we also had the promise of the Spirit, the Comforter. Just as circumcision was a seal unto Abraham, the Holy Spirit is a seal unto us. So when we think about the Holy Spirit, several questions come to mind. How do you know you have it? Where do I get it? Am I really using the Spirit as God intended? Do we use it to its fullest? Do we allow God's Word to saturate into us to the point that the Holy Spirit actually helps us with these infirmities? Or do we try to battle things on our own without allowing God and Christ to help us through the Holy Ghost? In John, the 4th chapter, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the Samaritan well, in John, the 4th chapter, verse 23 and 24, and I said, this is my ending. I'll do it first because it kind of sets the stage for how the rest of this will go. Excuse me. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit, in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Holy Ghost is something that is given to you as a seal. It is a gift. You come in contact with that when you truly come to God and you are buried into Christ. We come in contact with two things. The blood of Christ that washes away our sins, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, do you use them? Do we take this great gift that God has given us? Because see, by following through, we have the hope of eternal life. But do we take this gift of the Holy Ghost and actually use it? You know, every one of us has trials, tribulations, health fails us. I worked on a car this week. Usually I work on things and it goes great. This week, not so great. Things I'd done before didn't go well at all. I don't recommend working on Dodges at all. Even though I've done several things to it, this week took a whole week to do things. And one part I put on there was defective, had to take the whole thing apart again and do it again. And I didn't get done until yesterday afternoon. And it still may not be done. Somebody else is going to look at it now. That's why they have mechanics better than me. But when we talk about the Spirit and we are going to serve God and we have this Holy Spirit within us, we need to walk in it. We need to use that Spirit to guide us because of the infirmities of the flesh, because we are selfish people. We need the love of God and we need that Holy Spirit to help guide us. Do you realize humility is not something that I have a great deal of? It's something that I had to learn because, like a lot of people, they're nervous about talking or whatever. I don't have any of that. I haven't had any of that. I was a very shy child, and about 18, something clicked, and I'm like, well, why be scared of this or that when I can just go on? But that could have been something that was more of a pride thing, and I'm like, not really into that. But you see, the Spirit helps us with all these different things that we have. All these little things that we don't have the great qualities of, we can allow God to make up the difference in. And that's what we have to allow God to do. I'm not someone that likes to have a lot of help with things. And, you know, but I'll tell you one thing I do as a man that most men will not. If before GPS, if I was lost, I would go ask for directions because I don't like to waste time either. And, you know, that's one of the things. Men will wander around for hours. No, I'm not lost. But I'm one of those people that will ask for directions, but I'm not real big on asking for a lot of help. In order for the Spirit to work in us, we need to humble ourselves and ask God to help us. And we have to admit that we are wrong. Because someone who's rarely wrong, or thinks so, has to admit that they are wrong probably 90% of the time. Because God is always right. And I am usually wrong. Because when I use my thinking to guide myself, that's when I'm in trouble. It's when I allow God, through the Holy Ghost, to work in me, to guide me, is when things go well. One of the things that we do not do is ask for the wisdom that God can give us. You know, like in the book of James, the first chapter, it talks about asking for wisdom. How many of you, before doing a task, heading out in the morning, or just going through your daily routine, ask God's wisdom to guide you through the day? Through the Holy Spirit. How many? It's probably a lot rarer than what you think. Some people probably do it more than others. I realized a long time ago that I'm not as smart as I think I am, and I realized that wisdom a lot of times eludes me. But you know, one thing that God has given me, it's given me this through the Spirit that I can ask for wisdom. And it makes me a lot smarter guy. But I have to give the credit to God because it's all His. All the glory goes to Him for whatever it is that I accomplish or do, because I understand that without God and His Spirit through Christ, I can do nothing of myself. Because I have to be humble and dependent on God for everything. Because if we become selfish, we lose the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say again, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." This is a giving over of oneself, that God is in control. This is hard to do. You know, they had a song once, "Jesus take the wheel." Now, I'm not suggesting you let go of your steering wheel and go down the road and say, "Jesus, drive my car." But what we have to do in this life is sometimes we just have to let go and let God be in charge. And in order to do that, you have to have the Holy Spirit in you. Because Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So if you are going to walk in the Spirit, it is allowing you to let this go. Humble yourself before God. Let the Holy Spirit saturate you. Let God guide you. It's like in Psalms when he talks about, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In Romans 8:1-4, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Remember, sin equals death. The hope of Christ is eternal life through doing away with this sin in our lives. "For that the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And that's where the question comes in. Do you walk after the Spirit? Are you going to walk in the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? Do we actually know enough about it? That's one of the things that this right here, this talk could be a study that could take months, years. It's endless. Because if you take the three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Then let's take you, flesh, soul, spirit. And you need all three of those to make you complete, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, to make you complete. So you actually need four parts of you, whereas God only needs three, because you need the Holy Spirit to help complete you through Christ. And you could actually say five, because we need Christ also and need His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For all in Adam, for as in Adam all die, even so Christ shall all be made alive. Walk in the Spirit, so sin can have no effect, so that we all can have this hope of eternal life." Colossians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Okay, how does this happen? We talked about baptism a little. And so far out in the world, it's sprinkling, it's doing this, it's doing that. Baptizo means burial. In order for you to contact of the blood of Christ and to be in contact with that Holy Spirit, you have to be buried in Him, leave the old man in the grave, then take the new creature and start your life anew. You know, it's interesting that a lot of religions say, well, you can just say, I believe in a lot of stuff, but that's not going to save me. But I have to believe in the Word of God, but I also have to have the action that goes with it. And in order to have the Spirit in me, I have to go and do through obedience the things that God has directed me. And I have to do them every day. We don't get a vacation. This search for eternal life or journey that we are on, once you come into the church, the kingdom, as Brother Stevens was talking about this morning in the class, if you're going to be a part of that kingdom and have that hope of eternal life, there are several things that we have to do. First, baptism is a start. Then there's growth. We have to grow on our own. Each and every one of us are individuals that has to seek out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And in order for the Spirit to help you, you have to actually come and truly believe and be honest in this. Because a lot of times I see people come and, you know, we don't know the hearts of people. We don't know what their intent is. But, you know, if there's a bunch of kids getting baptized, they all seem to jump in. Well, a few years later, a bunch of kids are gone because it was kind of like a peer pressure thing. You have to own your own salvation. It is yours. We collectively as a body make up the church, but individually, each of us is responsible for their own soul, for their own salvation, because you are responsible. Each and every one of us will give account of himself or herself before God. Then, in Galatians 3:28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." All one, all the same, equal terms. Everyone is the same in the eyes of God, for he is no respecter of persons. So when we take into account that each of us receives a portion of the Holy Ghost according to the faith that we have. Think about the first century church. No, we don't have that where the Holy Spirit was passed on by the apostles. But each and every one that is a member here today received a portion of that Spirit because that was a seal. God, member, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. What made you? God appointed you, as pointed out this morning. But he also sealed you with the Holy Spirit that says you are his. Yes, you can quench the Spirit. It's something that we have to think about, because if you're in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, can't remember exact verse, but all it says is, quench not the Spirit. That means that if you're going to serve Christ, do it wholeheartedly. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. Yes, things are going to come up in your life. There's going to be troubles, tribulations. But how do you handle them? God gave us the Spirit to turn to. We can pray through Christ. And it says, of course, in Romans 8th chapter that it actually makes groanings and different things for us that because we know not what to pray for. But we still have to do it. We need to pray so God hears our petition. He hears our cries here on earth of how we are being afflicted, how things are bothering. Sometimes we're afflicted physically. Sometimes we're afflicted only in our minds. Sometimes we make a mountain out of a molehill, and it can take you away from God. Our lives are full of a lot of different things. Troubles, tribulations come to everyone. In Titus 2:11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You know, I can't tell by looking at you if you have the Spirit of God in you. Like I said, I don't know the hearts of men, God does. But you yourself should know yourself well enough to know whether you're doing what is necessary to keep the Spirit alive, to keep that hope alive in you. Because we can't just say, well, I'm going to heaven, and there's many roads, and we'll all get there. Because if you look at a map, there's many roads on there, but they don't take you to the same place, do they? I was working in Arkansas one time, and they had all these different ones. There was more Churches of Christ than there was anything down there for some reason. I have no idea, but they all had different preachers and different things and all this stuff. And they were talking, and for some reason they was talking about religion, which didn't happen very often. And one guy was talking about how his preacher had said, yeah, we may all go to different churches, but you know, all of them just leads to heaven. It's like a road map. All roads lead to heaven. I'm like, well, my road map, of course, is the Bible, and it says there's certain things I have to do to have salvation. I can't take 470 over here and end up here, because 435 runs by here. 470's over there. I'd have to take 50 come across here to get here. So not all roads lead to heaven. It's one of those things that the individual needs to look and read for themselves. Because I've asked this question, probably not here, but I always ask, do you believe what you believe because you believe it or because somebody else told you? You have to own your salvation. And you need to be able to answer that question, because salvation is yours if you truly believe and follow after God's word. Because otherwise, it is not. You're just following fairy tales. You know, we can go through all the motions, we can go through all the different things, but that don't necessarily mean that you're doing God's will. Because there's specific things we do. It's kind of like, do you take that spirit that God gave you? Do you use the talents that you have for the particular things that you have? You may not be a public speaker. You may be terrified of being in front of people. Can you talk to people individually? Do you have the gift of singing? I'll be honest with you. If I led singing, all these people would be out the exits, because I am not a singer. I am tone deaf, and that's not one of the things that God gave me. One of the things he gave me was a voice that's very loud most of the time, and an ability to stand in front of people and talk without any fear of whether you like me or not. Don't care. It's one of those things that we either are going to be preachers, teachers, but we don't have to do that in assembly. You can be a preacher or a teacher. Take the Spirit of God with you. Take it out into the world and be that light. You know, I don't have to be in a public assembly. One-on-one's pretty good. Most of the people that are usually come to the church have been through an individual Bible study. Have you taken the time to do that? It's, you know, teaching does more than speaking. I'll be honest. I'd rather teach, because I always have the stuff in front of me. I don't have to look for it or whatever when I'm teaching, because I'm going to be going through. I'm a, you know, chapter and verse teacher. So I'm going to, if I do Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to go all the way through to the end of the Galatians. But do we do the work that we need to do to be the followers of Christ. We find ourselves a lot of times at crossroads. We're either afraid to speak, or the moment passes us and we think, oh, I should have said something. There's been 1,000 of those in my life, and I'm not scared of people at all. But how do we use the Spirit to the best as God has given it to us? When you ask about, when you pray to God, what do you ask for? It's one of those personal questions. It's like, how do we use it? I'm going to tell you up here today, I don't have all the answers to questions that you would have about the Spirit. There's no way anyone could. Like I said, it's an endless topic. We find ourselves most of our lives trying to eke out a living and get by moment, because our lives is lived one moment at a time. And most of the time, we spend that with being busy on other things. And a lot of times, you know, most men are accused of not being able to do anything but one thing at a time. But some of us do think about things while we're doing other things. But is Christ always before you in your life? I think sometimes we keep Christ at arm's length when we're doing things. And he comes in when we ask for blessings at meals. We ask for, you know, him to help us. Here's a thought. God has given you the hope of eternal life. He's given his Son. Through his Son, he's given you the hope of eternal life. He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thanked him for it? Do you thank God for the many things that he gives you every day instead of petitioning for something else he could do for you? Think about it. Because we only have this short time that we are here on this earth. And like I said, our lives is lived moment to moment. Because we don't know what is on tomorrow. Our life is, you know, kind of like the kettle boiling on the stove and the steam comes up and disappears. That's how time is gathered with God. What we are. Because we're here such a short time and God is eternal. But when we look at the whole of what God has given us, we have to realize that if we're only going after fleshly things, as it is in Romans 8, 5 through 12, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And this is a part I think that we need to really concentrate on. Being spiritually minded says, is life and peace. A peaceful spirit. The hope of eternal life and peace through that knowing that there's something more than just what we have here. Because the cardinal mind is an enmity. There's that word that comes up, meaning a fight, meaning a total opposition against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, that you be in the Spirit of God shall dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And that's an important statement because it says, if you don't have this Spirit, you don't have this Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You have to have it. This going around saying, I believe, or this is going to get me to heaven or whatever. It says you either have this Spirit or you're not of his. Because that's your seal. That's how he knows his people. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit and dwell in you. So which would you rather have? Be cardinally minded? Be nothing to do with Christ? Or do you want to be in Christ? Have the hope of eternal life. Have peace. And like I said, a lot of times the problems that we have are not so much that we are afflicted as Paul was. We are not afflicted like stones being thrown at us. I know it got pretty dicey there for a little while here in this country, but not as much as some would let on. But to be a Christian or call yourself a Christian means you have to walk the walk, talk the talk, and be a humble being. It's God asks for your simple and total obedience unto Him. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through verse 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price," meaning, of course, crucifixion of Christ. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Peter 4:2 says that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. 1 Peter 4:3 says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in the lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, the quietings, abominable idolatries." Psalms 116:16 says, "O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosened my bonds." Remember always that sin is considered bondage. When we are walking in sin, we are in darkness. God is light. When we are bound by sin, it truly means being bound. It means that you are in bondage. You are a slave to it. Whereas we have the liberty in Christ that loosens these bonds, puts us into the light of His dear Son. In Romans 8:13, it says, "For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify or make dead the deeds of the body, we shall live." And Romans 6:21 says, "What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So you have to make a choice. I'm going to start wrapping this up because I got 2-3 pages left. But anyway, we have to make a choice. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve man? Do you want peace in your life? Sure, Satan's going to keep throwing the darts at you. You're still going to have all these stumbling blocks. You're still going to have all that stuff coming at you every day. And the stronger your faith is, the more Satan is going to try you. And, you know, none of it is, you know, I could get up here and tell you how it's a rosy picture doing, you know, trying to follow after the Lord, but sometimes it's hard. But God gave us all the tools that we need to be able to overcome everything in this life, that we can have the hope of eternal life, and that we can dwell with Him forever. Because, you know, when I think of all the troubles and tribulations in this life, and if this is it, boy, even though I feel blessed, I think there's something better. And I think that something better is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think it is through this invitation that we will offer now, that we offer that to you. Whatever the need is, if you are coming to God for the first time, or if there's something that is troubling you that you need to put before the congregation, we ask you to come as we stand and as we sing the selection that Brother David has given.